Hello, David.
Good evening.
Are we ready to go then, Claire? It's just David's joined us.
Yeah. You're the member of the public. It says joining the meeting, so I don't.
Oh, well, I think we should start anyway, and he can come in joining us at this meeting of the Melbourne Parish Council on Monday, the 28th of September. We have quite a large agenda today, so I think we need to move on quite quickly. We will start with item PC 03620 to receive and approve apologies for absence.
Just apologies from Councillor Wilson.
Okay, so at the moment we're missing Councillor Baker. Okay, we don't need to do anything on that. PC.
Sorry, Chair.
We need to.
You do need to vote.
Could we vote on that, please? Can I have a proposer to accept? That's Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Moving on to item PC 03720 to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations. I understand there are some. If I pass over to Mr. Clark, please.
Thank you. Yeah, declarations of interests will shortly be announced by Councillor Travis and Councillor Kilmurray in respect of the items on the agenda related to the hub. Okay. I can confirm that dispensations have been issued.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much for that. Right, moving on to item PC 03820.
Chair.
Do that now, dear? Okay, do it. I thought you were going to do it at the item.
The councillors do need.
Sorry, okay, we'll do it that way. Sorry. Councillor Travis?
Okay. I declare an interest on PC 04720, Finance Matters F, related to quotes for project management on the hub extension.
Okay, thank you. That's duly noted. Councillor Kilmurray?
I declare an interest in the same PCO 4720F as a hub director.
And again, that is duly noted for the minutes. Thank you very much, both of you. You will be allowed to sit in and answer questions on that, but any voting you will not be able to take part in. Okay, Chair's announcements. Really, there's only one or two small announcements today, and I think it sits with me on behalf of all of the Melbourne Parish Councillors. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Simon for his time as our Parish Clerk. Simon has introduced a number of new processes and procedures which have assisted the Council to function smoothly. His guidance on a varied number of subjects and topics have been invaluable to us, enabling the Council to respond to an ever-changing environment effectively. I think I can safely say we all wish Simon every success for the future and hope that his move to Bristol will be enjoyable, successful, an enjoyable and successful experience. And you go with our best wishes. Thank you very much for all your time, Simon. In addition, I would just like to briefly say, we would also like to take this opportunity to welcome our new parish clerk, Claire Littlewood, who takes up her role formally from tomorrow, the 29th of September. And again, we all wish her every success in this new role.
Thank you,
everybody. Thank you. Right, I won't bore you with any more Chairman's announcements tonight, but thank you to both of you, and a safe journey up to Bristol tomorrow, Simon.
Thank you.
Right, moving on to item PC 03920 to consider an amendment to the minutes. Now, I understand I'm passing over to Madam Assistant Clerk. This relates to the change of tariff for the allotments, one of the allotments. Is that correct?
Yes, unfortunately, rental increase for the allotments was incorrectly noted. My apologies for that. St George's allotments is quite rightly increased from £25 to £27 per annum, but Grey's allotments should have been £15 to £16.50 per annum rather than £20 to £21.50. So I would like the minutes to amend the minutes to reflect that.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Does anybody have anything else they wish to raise on the last minutes? Right, well, subject to that small amendment, can I have someone to propose to accept the minutes? That's Councillor Travis. I saw your hand go up quickly. Seconded by Councillor Buxton. All those in favour? That's a unanimous carry. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll accept that. I'm moving those over. Moving on to item PC04120, to report back on the minutes of the Parish Council meeting held on the 27th of July. Mr Clark, is there anything to report back?
No actions that I'm aware of. The Assistant Clerk may be able to shed further light.
Okay, Madam Assistant Clerk?
No, there are no actions to report back on.
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, moving on to the next item, PC04220, public participation. Do we have anybody wishing to ask questions on the public participation? I don't believe so. We only have two visitors and don't think there's anything else there. Okay, we'll move on now to item PC04320. Now, I understand, I can't see any picture, but I understand, Hugh Pollock, you are online with us? Is that the case? Is Mr. Pollock there? He's not shown as muted, so. Right, okay, well, I think at this...
Chair, sorry, I've just had another message to say that they're back in the waiting room, so I've just admitted them again. Oh, okay.
All right, we'll give it a minute. If
I'm seeing two attendees by the name of Jenny Pollock. I'm assuming that's the Zoom account. One of them is muted. The other one just has an icon.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Mr. Pollock, if you are there on the second time through, could you unmute and acknowledge, please?
Hi, I hope that's doable, is it?
I can hear, but I can't see you.
Oh, yes. Now, we are having problems with this end. I'm going to make reference to that. Can we work on the basis that you're going to hear me, Chairman?
Yes, I can hear you. I think, can all of the council members hear Mr. Pollock? Yes, we can. Right. On that basis, then, we will move to this item, PC04320, to consider a proposal to mark the Holocaust Memorial Day. Now, Mr. Pollock, I understand our clerk has given you 15 minutes to speak on this particular subject. If I could ask you if you would kindly restrict yourself to the 15 minutes, because we have a very large agenda tonight and a lot of things to get through. So I will pass the floor over to you to make your statements accordingly. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson, for your kind invitation to address the Parish Council and speak to the proposal which is before the Council this evening, namely that Melbourne Parish Council mark Holocaust Memorial Day on the 27th of January next in Melbourne, with an occasion that was both modest and understated, as well as decorous, appropriate, and in keeping with the matters involved. My name is Hugh Pollock. I am a resident and elector living in Melbourne, and I shall read from a prepared text. I wish at the outset to thank both the outgoing and the incoming parish clerks for their interest and support, for bringing this proposal to the attention of Councillor Clark as the Parish Council Chair, and for, in this way, securing its place on the agenda this evening for the Parish Council's discussion and decision. I wish also, with your permission, Chairperson, and simply on my own behalf, to take this opportunity as one parish clerk departs and another steps forward and takes up her new post with the Parish Council, to wish each well in their respective journeys forward. Chairperson and Council members, I apologise to everyone for the technical signal difficulties being experienced at this end in regard to video imaging. As we meet together, technical and COVID uncertainty. All communities and organisations, however, up and down the country, and in most countries across the world, are living and adjusting to COVID regulations. So life must go on. We, every single one of us, along with our important local organisations and institutions, cannot simply stop and go into hibernation or a form of deep freeze. Instead, we must live without fear and collectively together work our way around this public health hazard. All planning by our important local organisations and institutions must go on, with all plans drawn up such that they are COVID safe. Chairperson, in order to ensure that all parish councillors are well informed concerning this agenda item and to assist their discussion and decision on the proposal which is under consideration tonight by the council, I provided information to the parish clerk for him to distribute in advance to all parish councillors. That information was a 15-page document in digital form published this year by the Holocaust Memorial Trust and entitled Holocaust Memorial Day 2020 in Review. It also sets out and explains the five goals of the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust, which the Trust was established to pursue. I understand the parish clerk has circulated that document to all parish councillors in the usual way, and so he made it available on the parish council website in the document pack for this council meeting. Also in advance of tonight's discussion by the parish council, the subject matter was given a full page positive coverage in the current Melbourne magazine, which was distributed during the first week of September to every household and every business within the Melbourne community. The article, page 55 of the magazine, carried the following invitation to all members of the Melbourne community. The proposal is due for discussion at the Parish Council September meeting. If you have a view, do of course write to the parish clerk and convey that view. Furthermore, Chairperson, although I have been allocated 15 minutes to speak to the proposal on tonight's agenda, I plan to speak for less than that in order to assist maximum participation and ensure full discussion and decision making by our well-informed parish councillors. Chairperson, Holocaust Memorial Day falls next year on the 27th of January, as it has done every year since the Memorial Day's foundation in the United Kingdom in 2001. Our government in London played a leading role in establishing Holocaust Memorial Day in the year 2000, when 46 governments came together and signed the Stockholm Declaration. Indeed, our government ran Holocaust Memorial Day through the Home Office until 2005, when the national charity, Holocaust Memorial Day Trust, charity number 1109348, patron His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales, was established, and the Home Secretary appointed its trustees. Indeed, the Ministry for Housing, Communities and Local Government has funded the work since 2007. The Holocaust Memorial Day Trust, through discussion and collaboration every year, chooses a theme, and the theme for 27th of January 2021 is Be the Light in the Darkness. This theme encourages everyone to reflect on the depths humanity can sink to, but also the ways individuals and communities have come together to resist that darkness by seeking to be the light before, during, and after genocide. Chairperson and Council, I find the Holocaust Memorial Trust to be open, transparent, accountable, honest, and very, very helpful. My telephone calls were answered immediately. My emails were replied to equally promptly. As a body, I am certain it will be a source of excellent advice, information, and assistance to the Parish Council if the Council were to decide to adopt the proposal before the meeting and bring this matter forward. Chairperson, considered across a wide range of relevant economic and social criteria, Melbourne Village has a standing as one of the larger and more important villages in all of the South Cambridgeshire area. The council you chair and lead, Melbourne Parish Council, is the village and the parish's main civil local authority. It is a dominant and constant presence in the Melbourne community, and in one form or another, down through the decades, it has always been a dominant, constant presence. Melbourne Parish Council, or its equivalent predecessors, has existed and has always represented the entire community of those who reside and make their living here within the Melbourne Parish boundaries. Of course, there are other important bodies and organisations which speak from within our Melbourne community. Such bodies and organisations speak to the community, and they speak also to others on behalf of our Melbourne community. And there are many: the police service, our NHS authorities, those who educate our children, our fire service, which comes to our rescue when called, the church leaders of the several churches and denominations present among us, to name but a few. But none of these bodies and organizations can speak with the authority we adults collectively and voluntarily give to our local Melbourne Parish Council. Furthermore, we give Melbourne Parish Council that authority with our firm instruction that it speak and act on behalf of our entire Melbourne community. It is to this Melbourne Parish Council that I brought the proposal and the item for discussion and decision this evening. I ask that you individually cast your vote in favour of the proposal and so decide that Holocaust Memorial Day will be marked by this council in a COVID-safe manner in Melbourne on the 27th of January 2021. The Parish Council, being the village and the parish's main civil local authority, is ideally placed to take such decision and carry this matter forward on behalf of all who make up the Melbourne community to a successful conclusion. The creation and holding of such an occasion, when undertaken by the Parish Council, will be seen and understood as an important statement in itself, as well as the explicit setting down of the greatly respected traditional values long held by both the Melbourne community and its Parish Council. The hallmark of any such occasion would be that it was local, simple, inclusive, dignified. The occasion itself would be the outcome of an initiative drawn up by the Parish Council that focused on venue, attendance, programme to be followed in a COVID-safe manner, duration. The first and necessary step is that a decision be taken tonight in principle to proceed, and that the necessary planning work be put in hand in the days immediately ahead to create an occasion to mark Holocaust Memorial Day on the 27th of January in Melbourne, which would also serve to unite and strengthen our local Melbourne community. I'm very, very hopeful that your decision as a Parish Council would be a unanimous one. Thank you again, Chairperson, and that concludes what I wish to say to the Council meeting.
You're muted, Chair.
Sorry, thank you very much for your statement there. That's my fault. I was muted. I would just ask very quickly our clerk if he has any points or comments he would like to make at this stage, and then I will respond.
Thank you, Chair. I think Council are in a position tonight to decide on whether they support the principle. But in terms of the specifics of an event, you need details before you can build it into the budget.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Clark. Mr. Pollock, I would, I do understand that you have been in communication with the parish clerk since May of this year, and I believe the email was worded as such that we'll probably, I have forwarded your correspondence right, we will probably wait until we can meet physically before discussing it. My initial thoughts are that we should start talking about it in September, which is where we are now. Hopefully it would have been an open meeting, but circumstances have not allowed that, with a view to including it in next year's budget, which would typically be finalised in December. Now, what I would like to say here is I understand that our parish clerk has requested that you provide the office with a formal proposal. Once this has been received, it will then be put before council for consideration. As the council's precepting for the current financial year took place in November, December of 2019, you will appreciate there is actually no funding available directly within this financial year to support any initiative. However, if you would like to organise an event to mark the Holocaust Memorial Day, I'm sure that the council would endorse and support an appropriate proposal. The council would also be happy to support your initiative with logistical backup through the parish office. That said, there is this year there may be an opportunity for you to actually apply for some grant funding to support your initiative through the community grant funding arrangement. Now, the next round of applications is due to be heard at our November council meeting. Your application would need to be heard along with all of the other applications, and if a successful grant was allocated, you would be made available supported funds for your proposal. So that's really where we're at the moment. What we would look for as a council is a formal proposal from you with what you actually want to take forward as your initiative to commemorate or to mark this day, and then the council will vote on that, on that particular proposal. So that's actually where we're at the moment, I think.
If I can say, Chairperson, if I may say in reply, the proposal is the one that I just read out, in which I understood the parish clerk had in fact distributed in advance to all councillors. And that was that the proposal is simply that parish, that Melbourne Parish Council mark Holocaust, so the council would do this. This isn't a venture that I would be bringing forward myself. The thrust of the proposal is that Melbourne Parish Council mark Holocaust Memorial Day on the 27th of January next in Melbourne, with an occasion that was both modest and understated, as well as decorous, appropriate, and in keeping with the matters involved. So it's not a suggestion that I myself would welcome and bring forward. The proposal is the one that I forwarded to the parish clerk, and which I understood was being placed on the agenda for discussion this evening. I thought that's what I was doing in the last few minutes. I understand I can't speak where the council is meeting, but my understanding was that I would speak for a few minutes to say what I was suggesting to the parish council, and that I think I have done, if I understand the parish clerk's intervention a few minutes ago.
Well,
the parish clerk does have his hand raised, Chairperson.
Yeah, okay, I will pass back to Mr. Clark to respond to that.
To be specific, my understanding is that the agenda item tonight was to hear a request from a resident to understand whether the parish council would support such an initiative, not necessarily arrange it themselves. And that is the thrust of the agenda item tonight. Now, if the suggestion is indeed that the parish council arrange it themselves, then that can be an ongoing discussion. However, I do have to say that it is my view that that is not an appropriate use of the parish officer's time. However, as the chairman has already stated, there is money available for a community-spirited resident to come forward and arrange this with the support of the parish council. Therefore, I felt it was an appropriate agenda item.
I think that's where we're at, Mr. Pollock.
Yes, I think that clarifies matters, except I would say that that wouldn't be my understanding. My understanding of the correspondence to date was that I was suggesting that the parish council would organise something. Now, in the event that the clerk says that that wouldn't be appropriate, I'm quite happy to abide by his judgment. That's his considered view in the matter.
Okay, well,
I ask a question? I've had my hand raised for a while. I don't know if you can see me, but I'd like to ask for some...
Councillor Hart?
I'm mindful of the saved time tonight, but I think certainly I'm trying to find the parallel, and I'm trying to cross-reference this with the way the parish council is involved in the remembrance services. As far, that's nothing that we organise as such, but we're supportive of it. And I'm just wondering, I mean, I think I would like to thank Mr. Pollock for bringing this to our attention, because I think it's something that, you know, it isn't just for 2021. I mean, and should a resident put a proposal through that says that we commemorate Holocaust Memorial Day each year, I'm trying to think how we could do that. And if a resident was suggesting, I don't know, and I don't know, Mr. Pollock, what you're thinking, but, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, is there a place where we could have either a tree of remembrance or something where it could be a focal point? Should there be a way to organise an opportunity, as I say, to commemorate and to take, I mean, this idea of be the light in the darkness, I think, is absolutely beautiful. You know, we're in very dark times, and if we could add some light to that, it would be wonderful. So I agree. I don't necessarily think it's something that the parish council would organise, but it would be something that perhaps the parish council would support, should somebody feel able from the community to come forward and say, we would like to apply for X amount of money from the grant funding in order to, you know, as I say, have somewhere where this event could be marked each year.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Pollock?
Well, if I can just say in reply, Chairperson, if I may, my understanding is that the booklet that was distributed to by the parish clerk, the Holocaust Memorial Day 2020 in review, makes very clear that many councils around the country actually commemorate the day itself. But if the parish council feels that it has no wish to do so, then I'm quite happy to accept that judgment. But all I can say to the previous speaker is that it's quite clear in the 15-page document that was circulated that many councillors around the country do take it upon themselves and are pleased to do so.
Okay, Councillor Cowley.
I'd like to thank Mr. Pollock for coming and speaking to us this evening. I think that remembrance of the Holocaust is very important. I feel, however, that perhaps it's not a parish level kind of remembrance. And I would like to ask District Councillor Hales and County Councillor Van de Ven to tell us if there are any such remembrances or potentially plans for such remembrances at a district or county level, which I feel would be a more suitable level for these sorts of things. It feels like the sort of village Melbourne is a little bit too small, a little bit too local to remember something of such magnitude as the Holocaust, if you see what I mean. So I'd like to hear from our district and county councillors, if possible.
Could I ask County Councillor Van de Ven, would you like to respond? Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, I'm not aware at county level, but I can find out. I'm thinking out loud. We haven't no, I can't. It doesn't come straight to mind, but I wonder if Jos has some district. I think it might be something that falls at district level.
Okay. Councillor Cowley?
A very quick Google has suggested that Cambridge City hosts a civic ceremony on the Sunday closest to the 27th of January every year. And did so in 2020, for example. So there is a Holocaust memorial commemoration nearby, if councillors wish to take that into consideration.
Okay, thank you. District Councillor Howes, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We had a presentation from one of the councillors who is from the Jewish community himself and his family to raise awareness. It was the back end of last year, prior to the Holocaust Day in January. So I've just actually texted him while Mr. Pollock was giving his presentation. I've just texted Martin to ask what and if any kind of commemoration is going to be undertaken by South Canberra District Council, if it's going to be part of something. And when I get that information, Chair, if I put that back through the clerk, okay. And then councillors then can then see what's what.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Okay, Mr. Pollock, are you happy with that at the moment?
I think
we can. We need to move on to our next subject matter, but I do thank you very much indeed for bringing this to our attention, and we will keep it under review. But I think from your own perspective, if you do have an idea or anything that you would like to take up specifically, if you come back to us through the clerk's office with any proposal, direct proposal, you know, I think I can safely say that we would endorse and support that proposal, and obviously we would lend you logistical support at this as we can find it. Councillor Kilmurray.
excuse me. I'd just like to agree with you. I was going to make that point that we could support and provide logistic backups. I don't know if the road closures, for example, we could arrange that, but just thinking about it, we haven't actually been involved in any other celebrations to mark particular anniversaries within the war. So I feel uncomfortable, although the Holocaust is important, why are we picking that in particular out of all of the atrocities of both wars? I think I'd be happy to for the council to support logistics and offer a grant, but not to actually organise under the auspices of the parish council.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Kilmurray. Okay, Mr. Pollock, well, thank you very much indeed for your time tonight. I really appreciate it.
Chair, sorry, the clerk has got his hand raised.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Chair. To directly answer Councillor Kilmurray's point, the agenda item appeared on the agenda at my instigation. I felt it was a valid request from a resident and an elector and was worthy of discussion. And that's all I've really got to say about that.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Pollock, for your time tonight and your understanding. And I say, if you have anything further to add to this, we will take this under review. We will look at this through the clerk's office and we will discuss with our county and district level colleagues. But say, if you have anything else, if you'd like to take that through the clerk's office, and then again, if there is a proposal coming forward, a more formal proposal directly from yourself, then we would look what we could do to endorse and support that proposal and logistical support. And as once again I said, there is an opportunity to apply for additional grant monies to support any proposal, but unfortunately within our budgets this year there is nothing financial that we have available, because our budgets were all set in November and December last year for this year. But I thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Pollock. Thank you. Okay, if we could now move on to item PC044, to consider a report from the MCCR. And I think you will have in your packs from Cass Sharman's her final report of what's gone on finalising and closing down the MCCR group and all of the financials on the bottom of that. If anybody has any questions, I think we'll take those. I will make a note, point out to you that the money loaned to cover the startup has been refunded by the MCCR to the parish office now. So that's back in the bank account. And Councillor Travis, would you like to? I think you're muted as well, Councillor Travis.
Simply just to say, I think on behalf of the council and the village, a massive thank you to Kath Sharman and the team for what they did. It was historic, and you know, it was something that really should be recognised and noted as part of the best bits of Melbourne's history.
Yes, I totally agree with that. When you look at the numbers and the prescriptions, the hearing aids, the residential needs, community meals, etc., etc., I think District Councillor Howes and our own MC, our own time bank manager, did an absolutely superb job in organising that. And a great thanks goes out to both of them. And I'm sure a lot of the residents feel exactly the same. And with the thank yous and things like that that we've received back, you know, it's amazing what can happen when you put your mind to it. Okay, thank you very much indeed. If no one's got any other questions on that item, we will move on to governance matters. And first one up is to receive the report from the district and county councillors. So I pass over to you, County Councillor Susan van der Ven, for your report, please. Thank you.
Thank you. I have circulated our combined report, and some of the items are really information items, so I won't go through everything. But I have prioritised them for things that are immediately relevant. You'll note the first item is on COVID-19 testing for school staff and the general public. We've all read in the papers the state of affairs, but this is really to remind ourselves that this has been a problem, the lack of testing at local schools affecting school staff who are coping, you know, the very best they can, but this is happening in the background. And I think
it's important to be aware of. Since I sent the report, and coming off the last item that you spoke about, Chair, on MCCR, there was a meeting last week convened for community groups, COVID community groups, and I don't know if MCCR attended that or not. I attended it on behalf of Meldrith. It's the first time I'm aware of that the district council and the county council director of public health have convened a meeting of all of the community groups in South Cams to alert them to the fact that there is a concerning rise in COVID cases among young adults in the 18 to 30 age group. The meeting was very constructive and it answered a lot of detailed questions, but clearly there is concern, and I know we're all aware of it through the media, but the question for communities is being alert to new needs again. They talked about not doing things in the same way as before should we get to new restrictions, i.e. they have learned that physical and mental isolation is really not good for people, and there have been a lot of lessons learned. But there is community transmission going on now. Moving along to more practical things, during the road closure of Mortlock Street, we had a lot of, Joyce and I both had a lot of representations from residents about cutting through on one-way streets or streets with restricted access. And we've had a long conversation with our local highways officer, and I know you have an item on the agenda about Drury Lane later, but this was a general chat about the increasing traffic through places like Little Lane, Meeting Lane, and so on. So our local highways officer is looking at this, and will come back to us. Shall I hand over to Joyce to talk about the planning issue in the couple of paragraphs on planning? And are you content if I leave the rest of the items in my report just in the written version for you to have as background information rather than go through them all, as I'm aware of your time?
I think that would be fine, County Councillor van der Ven. And if at the end of Joyce's statement, then I'll ask councillors if they have any direct questions for either of you, and then we can move on to the next subject. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much, Councillor van der Ven. District Councillor Hales, would you like to contribute?
Yeah, please, Chair, thanks. This, I think, is going to be the biggie for a number of years to come whilst we go through the consultation process and South Cam's planners and designers come to their recommendations, if you like, to go before the public and then ultimately council. The call for sites was considerably better taken part, if you like, by the developers than I think anyone had actually dreamed of. I think there were 650 submissions of sites across South Cams. 16,000 hectares of land, I think, has essentially been put up. And if I'm incorrect, I think it's something around something around potentially 200,000 houses if you look at if everything was granted for permission. But I have to say, and this is the overwhelming message coming from the planners and anybody else associated with the decision-making process, not one single house has been given planning permission under the call for sites and won't be until that plan is given its birth, if you like, by the planning inspectorate in Bristol. So when the council makes its plan, as it's called, that at that point, then the planning permissions will start to come through and start to be approved and what have you, or there may be a process slightly ahead of that, but it's generally speaking at that point. So please, if the message from residents is please do not panic at the moment. I don't see us getting away with it, I think is the politest way of putting it. I think there will be some development in the bigger villages. They are the best place to take some more development. How many, how much, and where is now the $64,000 question. But as this council has a massive experience in this process, a wealth of it with current councillors and people from the past, and I think once we start to get a bigger picture and what's going to happen potentially, I think at that point, that's the point that we really need to be on our, have our wits about us. Suffice it to say, the planners have said that there's something in the region of between 5,000 to 30,000 houses margin, if you like, that could be apportioned to South Cambs and the city. Bearing in mind, it's the city and South Cambs that are doing this together. So it's a joint plan. So let's work on the four figures rather than the five. And I think that's about it, really. At the moment, this is just a data collection, and now they're going to start the huge chunk of work to put it into a plan. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, District Councillor Hales. Does anybody have any questions for County Councillor van der Ven or District Councillor Hales on the paper? Okay, well, the documents are in your packs for reading anyway, but thank you very much indeed, both of you. And we will now move on to item PC 04520B, which was to consider the external auditor's report. But I understand from Mr. Clark that report has not been received yet, so that will have to be deferred until the next meeting. Is that? I saw a thumbs up there from
our clerk. Okay.
So that will be deferred to the next meeting. Thank you. Now moving on to PC 04520C to consider the structure and function of the Melbourne Futures Working Party. Now, for information, what I've done, I'll just read out basically what I'm proposing here, which was sort of worked through at our last meeting, which included our previous chair of this committee, Julie Norman. I'd like to update the council on the future of the Futures Working Party. Julie Norman, who was the Working Party's chair, resigned this summer. In conjunction with Julie and the previous members of the Working Party, we've decided to take the group forward on the following basis. The first move has been agree on retaining a small group of permanent members on this group, made up as follows: County Councillor van der Ven, District Councillor Hales, Parish Councillors Hart, Kilmurray and Clark, and resident David Telford, to be asked if he would like to be a resident on this, or sort of on the main group that sits sort of behind the scenes. So you can either put your thumbs up or thumbs down, Mr. Telford, if you'd like to, on that particular thing. But going forward, we'll be requesting that the clerk's office sends out to all Melbourne residents a request for people interested in getting involved in projects and initiatives in the village to put their names forward with particular interests and skill sets. Now, I understand County Councillor van der Ven has already made contact with a resident who is showing interest anyway. As and when projects and initiatives within Melbourne arise, we will contact our list of resident potential volunteers, hopefully to form a specific working party to deal with the topic in hand. We'll appoint a chairperson for each specific initiative and subject. The working party will report back to full council through the sitting council members on the panel. The aim here is to be flexible in our approach, recognising that residents who have busy lives may wish to join a working party for a specific project, but may not have time to sit on a regular working party panel. We are currently engaged in one initiative at present, that of the Melbourne Road Safety Initiative. This is in conjunction with the wider Greenways Initiative being championed by County Councillor van der Ven. The group will be reviewing and revising the current terms of reference, document number 6.04, to bring it into line with the above recommendation to then be considered for adoption by full council. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't missed anything on that. Does that sit with what we sort of agreed at the last time we met, which included with Julie and John Regan? Could I ask you, County Councillor van der Ven, does that fit in with what you think was going forward?
Yes, I think that the this futures group has been in place for a few years, and it has been a very reassuring group to have while the village has faced unprecedented development pressures around infrastructure concerns. So that's really the genesis of things going forward. The Melbourne Greenway scheme happens to have been approved by the Greater Cambridge Partnership quite recently. And so there's an opportunity to have some coordinated thinking for Melbourne's safe roads while the Greenway comes into into our world. So that maybe recasts it a tiny bit. I hope that's all right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Does anybody else that sat on the committee wish to sat on the working party wish to comment on what I've proposed there? Okay, so that's the way we'll be moving forward with that, hopefully, and we'll be reviewing the terms of reference, etc., to take that forward. Moving on now to...
Sorry, Chair, can I offer a piece of advice, please?
Mm-hmm.
If the terms of reference need to be reworded, then can I suggest that Council pass a resolution tonight to delegate that task to the Finance and Governance Committee?
Okay. Okay. Yep. That's absolutely fine. So, could I have a proposer for passing this forward to the Finance and Good Governance Committee to reword the terms of reference? Can I have a proposer for that, please, Councillor Kilmurray? Can I have a seconder for that, please, Councillor Travis? All those in favour? I think that's gone unanimous. Yes, everybody's said that. Thank you very much, Mr. Clark, on that. So I will discuss that with Mr. Cowley's. Oh, he's there. Yes, I will discuss that. I thought you'd moved position on the board. Sorry, and I lost where you were. I will discuss that with Councillor Cowley in due course, and then we can take that forward in conjunction with Mr. Telford and the other members of the working panel. Okay, thank you very much for that. Now to move on to item PC 0420D, to note decisions taken by email. This is just an acknowledgement of three items that came up where we took the decisions over email, decisions not being done at full council meetings. First one was purchase of secure storage for pavilion. The second was the pavilion deep clean. And the third was adoption of a national pay scales. All of these were passed unanimously by the groups concerned. Mr. Clark.
If councillors have any questions about any of those decisions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay. Are there any questions on that? Any one of those three topics? Nope. Okay. Thank you very much. So they're all acknowledged and taken forward. Now moving over to PC 04620, traffic matters. Now, Mr. Telford has very kindly provided a report to us, a report on the vehicle activated sign scheme. Now, you will have seen this in your packs, and this is a recommendation that as a parish council we should purchase one of these VAS schemes, VAS machines, which could be mobile around the village. And based on Mr. Telford's report, which summarizes the documents that are now sitting on our website, which were produced and presented by Josh Rutherford from the Highways Group, it's evident that we do have increased traffic, increased speeding throughout the village. And I think this is a very good idea. But unfortunately, due to finances this year, I don't think we have any money in the actual pot that we can just dig into to buy one of these cameras at the time. So what my proposal is that we go for precepting for the purchase of one of these cameras in our next year's budget. So to put this forward for finance and good governance to add to the list of things that need to be precepted for next year. The cost of these machines is between £3,000 and £4,000 each. We will obviously be looking at LHI grant applications as well in the next financial year to support this initiative. And also it will be done again, it's in conjunction a little bit with, it sits in with the Greenways initiative as well. So if I could have a proposer to accept that we want to preset for this particular piece of equipment in next year's budget. Could I have a proposer for that, please? Is there anybody willing to propose it? Councillor Hart, and do I have a seconder? Councillor Kilmurray, all those in favour? And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, that's unanimously carried. Thank you. Okay, does anybody have any questions on this particular subject? As Mr. Telford has kindly joined us at the meeting, and I think it would be appropriate if there is something. Mr. Cowley, Councillor Cowley, if you would like to ask a question.
Yeah, not so much question, more a sort of contribution. I was thinking about this during the last couple of months, about speeds coming into the village and having been driving around various other villages. A lot of other villages have got, as you enter the village, they've got sort of white picket fencing, sort of like almost wooden gate things either side of the road, which kind of give a visual kind of clue that you're entering village. And they also sort of feel like they're making the road that little bit narrower. And I was going to suggest it to the Melbourne Futures Working Party as something they might look into considering for some of the entrances into Melbourne. So they've got them on the main road going through Wimpole, for example, and I think they actually work quite well as a visual clue that you're doing that, because I think some of the entrances into Melbourne, you come in, there's no real change in the kind of street scene at the point where the speed limit changes. And so I think if you can get people to slow down when they enter the village, they hopefully won't speed up once they're in it. So I just wondered if the Melbourne Futures Working Party might like to consider looking into the possibilities of getting some of those installed either by county or looking for LHI funding to put some of those in.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Travis? You're on mute.
Yeah, I was just wondering if as part of this, the development of this idea, if we could ask Mr. Telford or whoever is appropriate to provide the council with evidence that these signs actually work. I'm sure they do, but there must be studies carried out which prove some sort of positive function for these signs. They work for me, but I don't know how well they work for everyone.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Travis. Mr. Telford, would you like to respond to that comment? Or do you want me to?
No, I'm happy to say that, yes, I am aware of the wicket gates in the paper. There's a number of responses that can be taken to speed. What we've got to do as the next part of the exercise, and in conjunction with the Greenway, which will address Royston Road and Cambridge Road. And you must remember that was a trunk road. It was the A10. As such, the carriageway is 30 foot wide, and there's no doubt there's a correlation between the width of the road and speed of traffic. So one of the approaches would be to narrow the road. Unfortunately, moving curbs is expensive, so we could perhaps do it with white line and hatchings. But the important thing is to stimulate driver reaction, and it may be that a number of these methods might be used at different times, because they become familiar to drivers. So we will be looking at a number of options, and I'm fairly sure that County Highways have got some detail and data on the effectiveness of the different methods, and we will be seeking their advice on this as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Telford. I would like to add to that, at my time on Barley Parish Council, we actually did acquire one of these particular pieces of kit, and I can't remember the actual numbers now because it was a few years ago, but we still had the troubled car drivers, but we did have a significant reduction in overall speed limits. We didn't get everybody down to 28 miles an hour, but we got a lot of people down to under 35 from coming down from the 40s to 45s. So there was a significant improvement You still had the boy racers, unfortunately, which you get everywhere, but there was a significant improvement through the village of Bali when those camera systems were actually put in place. And we had them as mobiles as well, so we could move them around the village. So, okay, thank you, everyone. If there's no further questions on that item, I'll move on to PC04620B to consider a suggestion to make Drury Lane a one-way. Now, I would like to ask Councillor Cowley, as he put this proposal forward, if he would like to speak on this particular issue.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This one is obviously reasonably close to my heart because I live on Orchard Road, but it really came to a head during the roadworks on Mortlot Street. Obviously, getting between Orchard Road and the High Street, which are two roads that run parallel for some time. Water Lane runs one way away from the High Street. Norgate's Lane runs one way away from the High Street. And so those sort of aren't viable ways of getting from Orchard Road to the High Street. Drury Lane is narrow. It can't support two-way traffic. There are quite a lot of people using Drury Lane to get from Orchard Road down to the High Street. And encountering, frankly, quite bolshy traffic coming up Drury Lane. So it sort of occurred to me actually that I'm sure the residents of Drury Lane would probably appreciate it being made one way, as well as just making the traffic flow that much safer. And if one were to make it one way, then it would make sense to make it one way towards the High Street. Because if you made it one way the other way, you'd have Water Lane, Norgate's Lane and Drury Lane all coming that way, and it would be rather unbalanced. So it just felt, especially when turning off Orchard Road into Drury Lane, it's a bit of a blind bend, and if there's something coming up at frankly high speed, there are a number of times when I witnessed very, very near misses. So I just wanted to wonder what council's thoughts were on trying to make it one way.
Okay, now I think we could vote to progress this. Mr. Clark, you wanted to say something?
Please, Chair. Can I suggest that if Council wishes to progress this initiative, then the proper course of action will be to feed it into the next round of LHI applications. For those councillors who don't know what that is, Local Highways Improvement is the acronym I'm referring to. And it's something that happens every year where basically parish councils can go cap in hand to the highways authority and undertake initiatives exactly as Councillor Cowley has just suggested.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Clark, for that input. Right, so can we put a vote to progress this through the parish office through the LHI improvement scheme next year? Sorry, I've got two hands up now. District Councillor Howes.
Thanks, Chair. May I be cheeky, Chair, and perhaps suggest something slightly different, and that is that the Parish Council undertake a consultation and also get some advice from Highways as part of that consultation they can put to residents, because I think this is going to be quite an emotive subject. I mean, you actually write down the numbers of roads that have access to or from the High Street itself. Blocking off any one of those causes considerable movement of traffic elsewhere. I mean, for argument's sake, if you were to take Drury Lane out of the picture one way or the other, the increased traffic is likely to come in through Russet Way. So I'm just wondering, and that's got an awfully tight bend as well, which is there's nowhere to go because of the parked cars. So I'm just wondering whether or not, rather than go straight to LHI, because they will ask you for the same information, right, is we do our homework first as part of the traffic team as well, and we'll have you, and do that work for the parish council and then come back with a recommendation one way or the other, or some other measures perhaps. I mean, these are yet to be looked at, I suppose. Okay.
County Councillor Van Der Ven, you had your hand up.
Thank you, yeah. So a year ago when we had a public meeting about Beechwood Avenue and the cut-through traffic issues there, the result of that very close look at Beechwood Avenue area was that the Parish Council then commissioned these traffic surveys that are, the results of which are now on the Parish Council website, to look at the village as a whole
in order to make sure that any suggestions about changing traffic dynamics in Beechwood Avenue or that area, any suggestions be made in the context of the wider village, because it is a whole system, and we haven't finished that piece of work. It's for the road safety working party needs to look at all of that survey work and consider all of these things together, in my understanding. So I hope that could be a helpful step. And as I mentioned earlier, we've heard from residents about all of the roads with restricted access. There have been problems on all of them. And so there's some serious work to be done. The other comment I would make is that the LHI is a limited tool. You can only make one bid. And I would not be inclined to make any decisions about next year's LHI. It's a whole year away. So maybe, I don't mean to be negative, Councillor Cowley, just trying to take, you know, it's a really good moment with the Greenway assistance that we're going to have to look at things in the broader context and try and understand the system and go from there. I hope that makes sense.
Yep. If I could summarize a bit there, I think what we're looking at is asking the Futures Group to pick this one up and run with it in conjunction with what it's looking at for the calming measures as well. Take it as part and parcel of what the Futures Group is actually looking at the moment in conjunction with the Greenways as well. Is that what you're saying, County Councillor? Yes? Yeah. Okay, got that. Right. Oh, sorry, Mr. Clark.
There is no harm, if Councillor were minded to do so, there is no harm in making the request of the County Council to see or understand what the possibility is. We can write that email if councils so wish.
I think initially then what we'll look to do is we'll progress this through the Futures Group and report back to the clerk's office to actually maybe put some correspondence to county and see what goes up from that. But I think we'll take it through the Futures Group to start with. And obviously we are looking at a number of things there anyway. So if that's okay with everyone. If that's okay with everybody. Sorry, Councillor Kilmurray.
I think the clerk makes a good point. There's no reason why he cannot write to county and ask their opinion on this without any form of decision being made, and that information can then be fed back to the Futures. Yeah. I mean, that okay. seems to make sense. Then we know what county's opinion is.
Okay. County Councillor Van der Ven.
I think we already have put that question to our local highways officer, because we asked him after the Mortlock Street interruption, we asked him to look at all of the streets off the high street with restricted access. Oh, sorry, there is no restricted access.
I'm asking for gotcha. There to be restricted access.
got it.
Okay. I think then the proposal from what I'm gathering here is that we will ask the office, ask the clerk to write to county just for an opinion at this stage and forward that opinion back through the Futures Group, and we can take that forward from there. Is that okay? So could I have a proposer to progress that way? Councillor Kilmurray, can I have a seconder for that? Councillor Cowley, all those in favour? Okay, I think we've got a unanimous there. Yes, we have. So that will be a letter from the office to county on the basis of Councillor Cowley's request, and see what comes back, and then we can feed that back through the Futures Group and the Greenways Group as well. Thank you very much all for that. Thank you. If there's nothing else on that, to move on to PC 04720 Finance Matters. Now, this is to consider requesting council to pre-approve payments to regular suppliers and contractors. This was a recommendation from the Finance and Good Governance Committee to speed up things. And you will have in your packs a schedule of items that we're looking to pre-advise. Mr. Clark.
I have the RFO on standby to answer any questions via text, should councillor or councillors wish it.
Yes, I do. Really. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, she did say she would make herself available. So you'll see within the pack that you've got that there are a number of items that we make regular payments on. And this was a proposal coming through from the Finance and Good Governance. And the proposal is to approve the payments as detailed on the attached schedule to regular suppliers and contractors. Are there any questions on this particular item, or can we go straight to a vote? Okay, Councillor Travis, you're on mute.
Yes, I would like just to record, Chair, that I agree in principle with what's being proposed here. There is possibly one exception, which relates to the maintenance contracts, which concern a great deal of spend. And just to say that there is there's an understanding with the contractor, Hearts and Cams Grounds Maintenance, between the Parish Council and him as a contractor, that payments would be made subject to regular meetings, which would review the status of work and the rightness or otherwise of making payments to the invoices as they were presented. I don't know if the assistant clerk has got anything to add to that, because we did meet with his contractor along those lines. So in this particular segment of the items which are being proposed, it's a little bit different, is what I'm saying. It's not quite a straightforward yes, we will pay it.
Okay, that makes sense. Would Madam Assistant Clerk like to comment?
Yeah, simply to say that actually, after our meeting with the contractor, he has essentially been sending in 12, splitting the annual cost over 12 equal payments. And I think it's additional works, isn't it, that we... Sorry, Councillor Travis.
Well, yeah, so I understand that, Madam Assistant Clerk. It was just that I believe that we should still be asking him for some sort of regular update as to the status of the work and where there have been deviations from. I'm speaking as Chair of the Maintenance Committee, yeah. I suppose, that we should be asking him for an update. There may be nothing to say, but wherever there are deviations from the norm, where he's done more grass cuts or there's been something special, a tree's come down, whatever it is, that he should be flagging that up to us before we make regular payments to him, so we know where we are.
Okay. Madam Assistant Clerk, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So within the contracted amounts that we pay, they would just be paid as part of this schedule. Any additional works would need approval.
Okay, that's fine.
Am I understanding?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Mr. Clark?
My advice to council is that if you are going to pre-approve payments of this nature, then council should, with regard to any contract that is about to come to an end, insert a clause where you stop pre-approving payments related to that contract in enough time for the proper review process to take place.
Okay, understood. Thank you, Councillor Travis. Has the Assistant Clerk, Madam Assistant Clerk, answered your question with regard to the regular payments? And if it's, you're referring more to the overspends, aren't you? But
I think I would just like it recorded. As this vote is taken, a kind of caveat that the spends for maintenance contracts are subject to an ongoing review process through a dialogue that happens with the contractor to make sure that the very large sums of money which get spent on maintenance are being properly spent.
Okay. Has anybody else got any further questions on this? Okay, if we could go to a vote on that for the proposal to pre-approve payments as detailed on the attached schedule, with the caveat, as outlined by Councillor Travis, about any spends for the maintenance contracts are reviewed on a regular basis and any overspends are obviously dealt with separately. If that's okay, can I have a proposal for that? Sorry, Mr. Clark.
Sorry, Jack, can I repeat my request that any contract that is approaching its review point, then the proposal does not take effect. In other words, you should not be pre-approving payments for regular suppliers or contracts that are about to reach their review point.
Okay, if we add that to the proposal that we do not include any contractors or suppliers where we are coming to the end of a contract. Okay, can I have a proposal, please? Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Travis. All those in favour? Okay, we have that unanimous. And we'll check the wording of that, Madam Assistant Clerk, to make sure that we've incorporated what Mr. Clark has said and also Councillor Travis has said. So we'll make sure that the wording is appropriately put forward for the minutes. Okay, thank you very much for that. I think you can text our RFO and tell us you can stand down now if you want to. Right, now moving on to the next item, to consider the monthly financial reports, which is PC04720B. This is just to note the 5 months report that has come in from our RFO, and I think the numbers are looking quite solid. And again, as usual, the professional approach is to be commended here, and there's a summary document at the back. If anybody has any questions or anything they wish to lodge, we can forward those on to the RFO and respond. Are there any questions or anything? This is just to note file. Okay, nothing. So we move on to the next item, which is to receive the and consider the approvals list for August. This is a resolution to retrospectively approve the list, which was all settled out. Are there any questions on the August list? Can I have a proposer, please, to accept that list? Okay, Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? Again, carried unanimously. Thank you. And secondly, to a resolution to approve the September list. And yep, this list is to be released off the system after this is approved. Are there any questions on this particular list? Anybody got any issues with this? Okay, could I have a proposer, please, to accept the expenditure transactions approval list for September? Councillor Cowley, seconded. Councillor Kilmurray, all those in favour? And again, that's carried unanimously. Could I ask to authorise signatories if you could release the payments subsequently, please? Thank you. Moving on to PC 04720D. This is to approve the Parish Council's insurance renewal contract.
Chair, the clerk has got his hand raised.
Yes, Mr. Clark.
Just to report to council, this is something you must do.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but just to approve the council's insurance renewal list, which is the third year in a 3-year contract. And I understand from Mr. Clark that there has been an increase of approximately £200 in this contract for this year. The sum involved is £7,562, including agent's fee. So can I have someone to approve that, please? Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? Right. Okay, that is not unanimous.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, that is unanimous now. Okay, thank you very much. And obviously at the end of this year, we'll be looking to ask our agents to go out and get more tenders for our business. Right, moving on to item E, PCO 4720E, to consider a report on the parish van. I will kindly pass over to the parish clerk, who has some good news, I believe.
Thank you, Chair. So over the last 2 or 3 years, we have been slowly building the budget for the inevitable time when we must replace the parish van. The budget currently sits at £3,000. I sent the wardens van shopping recently, so they are on the ball when it comes to replacing the vehicle. Where we are at the moment is that there is £3,000 in the budget for a new van, and if they were to buy a van at that sort of price, they would get something that is only 1 or 2 years younger than what we currently have, and with about the same mileage. And our van at the moment is worth basically tuppence halfpenny. So under the authority of the parish office, we recently put our existing van in for a pre-MOT check, with a view to understanding how likely it was to pass the MOT. And the results of that came back well, and the cost of that was £50. Long story short, we are looking at an expenditure of about £150 to get our van MOT'd, roadworthy, and ready for at least one, if not two, more years, during which time the parish council can precept and add to the budget for a replacement van of a better quality. My recommendation, therefore, is that we do that and continue saving for a new van. And in the meantime, you will be seeing a request for retrospective approval for money spent on the van, including £50 for the pre-MOT check, and eventually roughly £150 to £200 for works and plus an MOT to keep our current van roadworthy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clark. Do we actually need to vote on that? Because that money falls within the allowance for the office, doesn't it?
I think it's just for noting.
It's just for noting. Okay, does anybody have any questions there, or does anybody want us to go and spend more money at this precise moment in time, or are we happy to accept that recommendation? Councillor Cowley.
Just to report to Council that this was discussed at length in Monday's Finance and Good Governance Committee, and the whole committee was in agreement with what the clerk's just said about keeping the current van running for a few years. So this has already been discussed, and effectively it's the recommendation of the Finance Committee. Yep. that we try and keep the van running and precept for a couple more years to get up to sort of nearer the £6,000 mark.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much, Councillor Cowley. So we'll take that as noted, and we will move on to the next item. Now, this is to consider quotations for project management on the Community Hub Extension Project, item F. And at this stage, we have Councillor Travis and Councillor Kilmurray will not be able to vote, but will be available to answer any questions any other councillors have on this particular subject. Now, in your packs, you will have seen there are three quotes for the hub work. One from Bremner, which is £12,900 plus VAT. One from Build Momentum, which is £8,470. And then there's one from 1731 Limited, which is £7,590. Before I suggest a vote on this, has anybody got any questions for councillors Travis or Kilmurray with regard to this project and these quotes? Okay, now I understand 1731 is Tom Upcroft, who is the gentleman working on the boardwalk at the moment, so there is familiarity there with him. I think looking at the quotes and reading through the documentation, which I'm sure we all have in detail, the obvious choice would be to go for 1731 Limited at £7,590. Now, the proposal I am making is that we adopt, or we offer the contract to 1731 Limited, £7,590, Can I have a proposer for that quote, please, to accept that quote? Councillor Cowley, can I have a seconder for that quote, please? Okay. Councillor Barnes, all those in favour? Okay, that is unanimous. Yes, it is unanimous. Okay, thank you very much indeed. So we will formally appoint 1731 Limited to undertake the works on behalf of the Hub Management Group. Right, now the next item on the agenda, I think you received information on this today, which is to consider the Parish Council's investment strategy. This again was discussed at the Finance and Good Governance meeting. So if there are any questions available on you require answered on this, either Councillor Cowley or myself will be able to respond. This is to do the investment options, to revise the investment options going forward. And you have the information on the packs. Does anybody have any questions on these particular items? Councillor Travis.
Just a question, really. Who developed the investment strategy? Was it our concept, or has somebody done this on their behalf? It looks very professional. I'm not criticising it. I'm just wondering how it was originated.
This RFO wrote it.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Cowley?
I was going to say that the RFO wrote a sort of rough, well, not rough draft, a very good draft that was discussed at Monday's Finance and Good Governance meeting. And it was at that meeting on Monday that we nailed down the recommendations, which are at the bottom of page 3, top of page 4, as to how much to invest in the various funds. Actually, no, they're not there. Where are they?
Okay, so it's £150,000 moving up from the £83,000 nationwide, and putting an initial investment of £25,000 into the CCLA bond, which is a recognised public sector deposit fund, which links to a number of sterling-rated banks, all of high, should we say, ratings, credit ratings. Okay, are there any questions on this at this stage? Okay, well, the proposal is to adopt the proposal. The resolution is to approve the attached revised proposal. So can I have someone to, thank you, Councillor Cowley, seconded, Councillor Hart, all those in favour? Okay, thank you very much indeed. That is carried. Obviously, this will remain under review as things move on in the finance world. So we will keep this under constant review anyway through the Finance and Good Governance Committee. Right, moving on to the next item, PC048, risk assessment, to consider any risk assessments needing to be brought to Council's attention. And there is one that's been brought forward, which was put together by our Madam Assistant Clerk, which was the COVID-19 risk assessment for the Pavilion September 20. As the Pavilion is now being opened for the use by the college, and obviously we're looking at it for other situations, but currently it's just the college. I'm assuming we've all read through the document, which is a very comprehensive document, I must say. So credit to Madam Assistant Clerk, assistance from the clerk on this one. So the resolution is to approve the use of this particular document. So if there's no questions, can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Travis, can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Barnes, all those in favour?
Thank you.
That is unanimous. I think we've lost one of our councillors. Someone's dropped off.
Councillor Buxton.
We've lost someone, haven't we?
Chair, Councillor Buxton has...
Buxton's just gone.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, that was carried unanimously on the basis that we note that Councillor Buxton was not voting, as she wasn't there.
You are still quorate.
We're still quorate, I understand. Thank you. Right, moving on to policies, terms and reference, PCO 4920, to consider adopting the expenses policy. if we've all had a chance to go through this, if are there any questions on the expenses policy that's been proposed? Nope. Okay, so can I have a resolution then to, can I have a proposer please to adopt the policy? That's Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? Okay, that's again carried unanimously. Thank you. Sorry, say something? Oh, okay. And next one is item B, to consider adopting the policy and procedure for verification of bank reconciliations. And this has been reviewed and done. Has anybody got any questions on this particular policy? Okay, so there's a resolution to adopt this policy, which is policy number 4.29, version 1, V1. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Travis, seconded Councillor Hart. All those in favour? Okay, and again, we have that carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, that's 1 minute to 9 o'clock. So thank you all very, very much for attending the meeting tonight. Appreciate your time and appreciate your patience, because it was a long meeting and there was a lot to discuss. And it just leaves it for me to just note the next meeting under PC05020, to note the date to the next meeting, which will be the 26th of October. And I would like to wish our retiring clerk a safe and enjoyable time in Bristol. All the very best to you, Simon.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you again for all your efforts and your time. Thank you.
All the best, Simon.
All the very best to you.
I've been staring at a glass of port for the last hour and a half, so.